I don't know whose idea it was to have this time of prayer for the persecuted church, but thank you. Maybe I missed that, but that was very helpful. And it's very touching for me and moving. And part of me is like, oh, I should change the message. But the message is good. The message stays the same. But maybe we should frame it differently. I guess what I want to say by preface is, I think that the words of Jesus apply in cushy, rainy Portland, but they also apply in North Korea and in Northeast India and in Iran and every other place that we can think of where God's people are hated and persecuted. So it's an honor to look into God's Word, and I know that many of you are reading God's Word every day, and it's an honor to do it, look at a chapter of His Word with you together. And you've got a copy of the outline there, and by way of introduction, I want to encourage you to know and to value the deepest longings of your heart. And we're going to spend a little bit of time just thinking about that and massaging that idea, that question. What are the deepest values and longings of your soul? And the big idea is that when we love Jesus, we obey Jesus. And when we love and obey Jesus, that is the key to the knowledge of God. God says he promises, Jesus promises, I will show myself, I will reveal myself to you when you love me and obey me. And that is the key to life fulfillment. That's the meaning of life. There's nothing greater, there's nothing better, there's nothing more significant than that. Mary and I, last night, this is not a part of my note, this is not prepared. Last night we watched a movie on TV, and it's an old movie called The Hiding Place. And one of the things that we walked away with is, I said, honey, this is the theme of the movie. They're saying that Jesus was with them in the concentration camp, that Jesus was with them in their suffering, that Jesus was with them when they were being beaten and starved. And so this is true for us in our context with a full stomach, hopefully, most of us. But it's true when the lights go out and the cupboard is bare. And that God wants to reveal himself to us. And when we love Jesus and when we do what he says, God reveals himself to us. And there's nothing greater in this world. So we have three goals. Number one, know and value your desires. Come to grips with what it is you really, really want inside. And then the implication is if you get an awareness of what's in your soul and what you really want, then open yourself up to God and say, God, this is what I really want, and this is what you really want. And sometimes they're hand in glove, and they mix, and or they go together well, and sometimes they're different, and you say, God, help me to make what my soul desires what you desire, and make me an obedient follower of the commands of Jesus. So I don't know who asked this was their favorite verse, but the favorite verse is printed for you in your outline. It's John 14:21. It says, Jesus says, he who has my commands and keeps them or obeys them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too, Jesus says, I will love him and I will manifest or reveal or disclose myself to him. And from this verse, we get this idea that loving obedience to Jesus is the key to the knowledge of God. And so we will talk about that and we will focus on that, but I have to, well, it's not a confession, admit we're going to read the whole chapter, because the whole chapter is good. So we're not going to only look at this verse, but we're going to look at the chapter and its context. But this is the point that we want to focus in on. What's the meaning of life? It's to be in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And hopefully our deepest desire is to get closer to him. And he says, if you love me and obey me, I will bring you into an embrace that you cannot deny. And to have that embrace, to have that closeness with him, is an experience like no other. So let's talk about your deepest desires, and I want to just highlight a few. I want to talk personally, and then we'll look at the text eventually here soon together. And I think for all of us, I've got some things that are the deep desires of human hearts. I think these are pretty universal, but I certainly can admit to them, although it's taken me much of my adult life to be able to admit that I have desires. But I do, and I think we all want for ourselves and for our children, our grandchildren, for a child that comes to the world, we want them to be born into a place of peace and shalom. Not everyone gets that. And we want them to be born into a caring family with a loving father who nurtures and protects them. And that is one of the deepest longings of every human heart. And to be secure and have a place of belonging, to feel like you belong somewhere. And as I look back at my life, I wasn't sure where I belonged. If I belonged, was I in the right family? Did they want me? Was I supposed to be here? And I say, okay, I have this desire to belong, and I didn't know where to belong. And if I'm in a home that loves me and where I belong, those people will protect me and they will rescue me from harm and possibly death. I want to have connection. I want love. I want togetherness. I want closeness. I want to be known. And then I put a red circle around the word wanted. I want to be wanted. I don't just want to have my physical needs met. I don't want to just have shelter and bread and water. I want to be with people who want to be with me. It's really important. I want to know what's right, and I want to know, have a philosophy that I can live my life by. I want to know the true and wise path to get through this human existence. And I want to experience reality, ultimate reality, and know life as it was intended to be lived. But I would say, we would say, as theists and as Christians, the ultimate fulfillment of all of that I'm talking about would be to know God. And that if I could know God, if it was possible, and today we'll find out how we can do that, if we don't know already, to know that, if God exists and he's true and he's real, then this connection with him, what some would call union, would result in feeling of glory. Others might say bliss or utopia or oneness or euphoria. They might say nirvana. If knowing God is possible, then it should have a tangible expression in not just how I feel, but how I live my life and how it all comes together. And I want to know that my life has meaning, significance, impact. We hear this expression, you want to make a difference. But we don't just want to make a difference now. We want the difference that we have or the life that we live somehow to go beyond us or to transcend what our experience is right now. And we want to be loved. Well, duh, right? We want love. But I'll speak for myself again. I'm selfish. I don't just want it for a time. I want it to go on and not to end and to be for eternity. So if I had the means, I could say to all of you, here's a free ticket to airplane ticket, round trip to Orlando, Florida. You go to Disney World for 2 weeks. You would say, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. And it would be wonderful. It'd be glorious. It'd be fun. It'd be exciting. But guess what? It's going to end, and then you're going to have to come back to your miserable life here in Puddletown, and I'm exaggerating, I'm joking. I don't want to live in Orlando, but Miami, maybe. Yeah. But we have a sister-in-law moving to Miami. But now I've forgotten what I was talking about. We want it to go on forever. We don't want it to be short. We want it to go on forever. We want knowledge, and we want truth, and we want security and relationship, and ultimately we want salvation. So what is wonderful is I think if we had a room full of secular people, they would all nod in agreement and say, these are good things. These are valuable things. And these are, I don't know, universal might be too strong of a language, but these are things that humans want. And these are things that humans need. And when, we'll see is when we read John chapter 14, these are the things that Jesus offers to you and to us and to me. This is the offer. This is the promise. Everything we desire, the deepest longings of our soul, can be met in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have the indwelling Spirit living with us forever. And I'm excited about this. I really am. But we have a problem. We live in a secular, increasingly secular culture that says there's a problem with everything you're saying. And the problem is everything you're talking about is invisible and immeasurable. You can't measure these things. Therefore, they're unrepeatable, and therefore they're unscientific, and you're really stupid for wanting them. You should be content to live in this material world and have your physical needs met and get a little human love maybe in the process, but at the end you're just going to die and you're going to go away, and there is no transcendence, there is no forever, there is no union or connection with God, there is no heaven. Jesus in this passage claims to be the way. He is not the way. Jesus claims to be the truth. He's a liar. Jesus claims to be the life, and you're going to end it. It's going to end in death. It's not going to end in life. So how do we respond to this? Are we wrong to have these desires? And I would say, no, we're not. And I brought a little illustration up here. And hopefully you can hear me and see me up here. This box, this crate, whatever we call it, represents our galaxy. And there's many galaxies, and don't quiz me on my knowledge of the universe, but this represents our galaxy, and inside of it is our planet. Of course it is. You can see this orange is clearly our planet. And we live right here, no, up here somewhere, and we're spinning around. And I can see you there, and you can wave. So this is us. We're on this little, tiny planet in a massive galaxy that's swirling around with beautiful symmetry. And we're in the midst of a galaxy that's moving faster than we can count. And the question is this. This is a question for us, and it's a question for our secular friends. Is the universe that we are, the galaxy and the universe that we're in, is it opened or is it closed? Is it open or is it closed? Someone say, oh, maybe it's half open or maybe it's... But what we're going to see now is that the galaxy, our universe, is open. Everything about it is open. It's open to the outside. It's open to God. Just like if you have a computer, is Bill Gates in your computer? No, but he can get into your computer. He's outside, but he can come in. So God is outside of our universe, but he can come into it. And that's the whole message of the Christian faith, is that God, it was in Christ and came into this universe. And so even though the deepest longings of our heart cannot be satisfied by the physical things of this world, even though they're necessary to us, the universe is open and God can come in and meet with us in this universe. I've been try to pray the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, just laying in bed and start to pray. And how does it begin? Our Father who is in
heaven.
So he's outside of the box. He's outside of the universe. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're in control of all of this that I can't see or understand. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, etc. We say that the universe is open, and we're not crazy to long for these things. And in fact, if Jesus is who he says he is, and he is, then we're the most blessed people in the history of the world. So the question, and this is central to the verse we're looking at, in the box where it says question, how do I get my greatest and deepest longings satisfied? And we will answer that in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to invite you to read with me the passage. And we're in John 14, and I'm going to start in 13 in verse 36 and read Simon Peter, where it says, Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now." So Simon Peter is down here in the box, and he says, "Where are you going?" And Jesus says, "Where I'm going, you can't follow me now. But you will follow me afterwards." Wow. Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "You will lay down your life for my sake? Really? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And some of our hearts are very troubled. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." And his house isn't in our galaxy. It's somewhere else right now. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you to myself." I'm coming back into your galaxy. I'm coming back into your universe. I'm coming back to your planet. Why? So that where I am, you may be also. And nothing in the words of Jesus that I know of communicate his desire to be with us greater than that. He's saying, "I want you. I want to be with you. I'm coming back to get you so that we can be together." Verse 4, And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus says, "I am the way to the Father. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father. No one has union with God except through me," says Jesus. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us." Jesus said to Philip, Have I been with you so long, and yet you don't know me, Philip? He who has seen me," says Jesus, "has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, verse 12, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him or knows him. He's invisible. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Verse 21. It's our key verse. He who has my commandments, Jesus says, and keeps my commandments, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And I will manifest myself. I will reveal myself. I will show myself to him. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. And we'll end there. Now, if you look at your outline, what does he offer them? Peace, I leave you. I give you my peace. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. The deepest desire you have for peace is met in Christ. He says, I go to the Father, and if I go to the Father, I will come for you so that we can be a family together. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you so that I can be with you. He says, because you belong and I want to be with you. And I'm like, hallelujah, that's me. That's what I want. That's what I need. And he's going to rescue us from this life and this death. And how many of you know that that orange in there is going to explode? It's not going to last forever. Entropy is happening. The second law of thermodynamics, we're proceeding to maximum states of randomness in our own bodies and in our ecology, and it's coming to an end. And he says, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to rescue you, and I'm going to save you from the body of this death and the death of this planet. And I want to be connected with you because I love you, and we're going to be together. We're going to be close. You're going to be known, and you are wanted. I want you with me in my Father's house. You need to know the right way to live. I am the way for you to live, and I will be in you, showing you the way. You need to know the truth and a wise path. And he goes, I'm the truth that you need. And you want to experience reality. I'm ultimate reality, says Jesus. I am life itself. I am the meaning of life. I'm the purpose for your existence. I'm the one who gives any kind of meaning to what you do to you. I'm life. And if you want to know God, you want union with God, you want utopia, nirvana, Shangri-La, whatever people call it, Jesus says, I am your connection, your only connection to God. And I will give your life meaning and significance and impact and purpose. And I will help you to transcend this life. And I will do it with my love as you love me and I love you back. And not only that, he says, when I put my Holy Spirit in you and I take you home, it will go on forever. It's for eternity. It's not a two-week trip. It's forever. And our hope is in him forever. It's perfect. It's endless. And he will give us the knowledge of himself by the Spirit of truth that will continue forever. And there's nothing more secure. And our salvation is not any more secure than that. And what's beautiful to me is it's not in religion, it's not in a doctrinal statement, although I'm not knocking those things. It's in a relationship with God through Jesus. That's how we experience this union with the Father. And so back to the question, how do I get these longings and desires that I have fulfilled? And the answer is when I lovingly, relationally obey Jesus, Jesus reveals himself to me. And God reveals himself to me through the Lord Jesus. And this changes everything and every possibility that ever came into my life. And one way of thinking about it is just saying obedience to Jesus is the path to the revelation of God. Now, this is not a detour, but it is, in a sense, a slight detour from our message. There is listed on the right there some commands of Jesus. Now, I had visions of, not grandeur, but visions of doing this thorough biblical study, go through the whole New Testament and write down all the commands of Jesus and present them to you, and I tried and I failed. But I did use the Google, I had a professor, he says, the commands of Jesus are basically seven. They can be boiled down to seven. And I was like, seven? Doctor, no, there's more than seven in one chapter here. I don't know how you can say it, there's only seven. And then somebody said, no, there's 67. 67 can be boiled down. 67, I don't know where you get that number. And I honestly read someone else that said, no, there's 1,023 commands. So Christians disagree and debate. A book could be written on this, and books have been written on this. What's the role of the law and the life of the believer? Bob might be able to inform us a lot better on that. But what I can tell you is this. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, he who has my commandments, Jesus has commandments, and keeps them, it's he who loves me. So, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will disclose myself to him. So we need to spend some time thinking about the commands of Jesus. And these are not all of them, but some of them are written here for us. And I encourage you, as you read, say, if you say, oh, I'm going to read through Mark, take a mental note and say, what is Jesus commanding, demanding, requiring, or directing me to do? And then as I gradually obey his commands, he promises to reveal himself to me. And I believe that it's true, and I've had that experience. Now, if you turn your outline over, it says a personal note. And basically, all I want to say here is that there are many wonderful, deep truths in the Bible and the Christian life, and I'm just saying, for me personally, over a long period of time, this doctrine, this truth, this passage has been and is becoming one of the most significant and meaningful to me. And that I really believe that it's true, and I'm increasingly experiencing it. And this idea of union with Christ, that I am in him, and he is in me, and he's putting the Holy Spirit in me, and he is in the Father, and the Father has us in his grasp together, and that Jesus is going away and he's coming back for me, and we're going to be together forever, and that in this life he will disclose and show himself to me as I lovingly obey him. It's the most meaningful, significant, powerful, spiritual thing I've ever experienced. And it's real. And I don't think we should seek the experience. I think we should seek the person of God, as Jesus directs us in this passage. Seek the presence of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the truth of God. Jesus is the life of God. And as we love him and approach him and obey his commands, he reveals the Father to us, and he says, hang in there in this life, disciples. I'm coming back to get you. And I encourage you to explore the passage and to read it and study it and meditate on it on your own and try to understand it a little bit more. And somebody could say, well, George, you're talking about mysticism, aren't you?
Sure.
No. I'm talking about the teaching of Jesus in John chapter 14. It's not this isn't come out of some monastery in the dark age. This is Jesus talking to us. I don't claim to fully understand it. I don't have all the implications. I don't claim to know it at its fullest depth. All I'm saying is, it's real, it's true, it works, and it's changing my life. And I pray to God that it begins to change yours as well. And I know that for many of you it has. So let's talk about wrapping this up. There's a section in your outline. It doesn't say application. Got really creative and I put down the words working this out. Ooh. Wow, so creative. So how do we work this out? How do we flesh this out? The first thing is I want to encourage you to read the passage on your own in your favorite translation or language, whatever. And then be honest with yourself about your desires. Because what I'm saying is Jesus wants to fulfill our greatest desires. But what are your strongest human, bodily, carnal desires? What is it that your body longs for? Because sometimes these two are in conflict. I know that they are for many of us. God wants, you know, this for me, but down here, this life, I want this. It's like, so be honest about what your body is telling you that it wants. Write it down. And I don't need to be graphic or crude or but what's the thing that drives your flesh? And then think about this psychologically, emotionally. What's your greatest emotional desire? What do you want emotionally? Say, forget about God. You know, I want a family that is this way, or a relationship that's this way, or a marriage that's that way, or a church that's the other. What is it that you emotionally, psychologically desire at the deepest level of your soul? And then think spiritually. I've been honest with you, and my wife certainly is sick of hearing me talk about how I have told God my spiritual desires sometimes and how he has not met them the way I thought he should. But be honest about your greatest spiritual desires. And then ask yourself this question. Jesus says, if you love me and you keep my commandments, I will reveal myself to you. Ask yourself this question, intellectual question or knowledge question. Do I know the commands of Jesus? And become aware, what are his commands? What is he telling me to do? And someone could say, well, that's easy, George. He says, you know, love God and love your neighbor. Okay, if you can break it down that way and go come at it that way, that's great. I'm for that. But think about the commands of Jesus, what they are and what they mean on a day-to-day basis. And then if you're like me, you say, okay, well, I've discovered that there's all these commands, whether it's 16 or 66 or 1,006, whatever it is, or just two, however you look at it, it's like, how is that going for you? Are you doing that? And if you're like me, you say, Monday wasn't so bad. Tuesday, oh, yoy, yoy. It was bad. You know, I didn't keep the command of Jesus. So start, say, today I'm going to try on this week, tomorrow, whatever it looks like, I'm going to try with one command. And this is my area of need, and this is where I need to go. I can begin by obeying this one command of Jesus. And then sometimes when Jesus says, I can't think of a good example off the top of my head, but sometimes he gives a positive command, say, love your neighbor. Okay, well then sometimes my body, my flesh is really desires to do the opposite of that thing. So it's like, what is it that's opposite in me against his command? And say, what can I do to put that aside, to put that off, so that I can positively obey the command of Jesus? Now, I don't think it's crazy that Jesus says to them, let not your heart be troubled, on the night that he was betrayed. Jesus knew what he was walking into the next day. Jesus knew what the disciples were walking into. And it blows our little minds, at least mine, that he would say this in that context. Why wouldn't he say, hey, let's just freak out. This is the worst. You know, these are the worst of times. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. I'm going to come back for you after all this. So how do the words of Jesus and the commands of Jesus impact your levels of anxiety and your depression? Statisticians tell us that about 30% of Americans are really depressed, really anxious. Some are suicidal, and that includes some of us. So how, if Jesus says, for example, my command is that you don't let not your heart be troubled, that my command is your heart not be troubled, how can you walk into the next year and not have your heart not be troubled? So, Lord, how do I do this? And what will you do to meditate on this teaching in this chapter? You know, some people study this chapter and they'll write a song, and some will write a poem, and some will write an essay, and some will bake cake. I don't know what you'll do, but what will you do to work it out and to meditate on it so that it becomes a part of you? And what is it? What will it take for you to get it? Because it's a little bit different for all of us. And then finally, lastly, it's a rhetorical question written there. Can I obey Jesus and love him without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? And the answer is no, I can't. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, I'm going to leave you, but it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Spirit. But I will send the Holy Spirit, and I will be in you, and he will be in you, and we are together in God, and it's going to be all right. And so I can't love and obey Jesus without the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. It goes without saying. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've talked the whole time on John 14. I haven't used the word Trinity once, but the Trinity's in here, right? God the Father sends the Son, The Son with the Father sends the Spirit. The Spirit is in the Father. The Father is in the Spirit. The Spirit is in the Son. The Son is in us. The Son is in the Father. And we're this family together. It's wonderful. And it's not only a doctrine, a teaching. It's a living, breathing relationship on planet Earth. It's a wonderful thing. Let's pray together. Lord, I ask again that your Spirit would go beyond and do in our souls what human words cannot do. We invite you to look at us and our longings and our hearts. We open ourselves to you. We want to meditate on your laws, Jesus, and obey them and love you. And yes, we want you to reveal yourself to us so that we can not just know your love, but understand the meaning of life, the purpose of our existence, and so that we can begin and continue this relationship with you that will go on for eternity. And we thank you for allowing us to do that with you, Lord. Thank you that this is true here and around the world. Thank you for being our loving Savior. Amen.